It's January 8th, 2020. Welcome to another edition of Bite Marks Cafe, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. First up, we have Nicole Fuertes from the Pacific Telecommunications Council. And she's here to tell us about the upcoming 2020 PTC conference called Vision 2020 and Beyond. And of course, then we'll be joined by Michelle Chung, who is also here with, I guess, a cameo appearance by Len Higashi, acting executive director of HTDC. And we're going to be talking about the True Initiative. And of course, it is my pleasure to welcome Nikki Fuertes. She's the marketing and communications director over at the Pacific Telecommunications Conference. And this is an annual conference that goes on for, I think, like the last 40-something years. But it's a great conference. It's probably one of Hawaii's best-kept secrets. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bert. Thank you for having me.
Now, this is a I always look forward to, you know, PTC. It brings together a lot of the, you know, sort of the big fat pipe customers, you
it
know,
does.
The submarine fiber people, mm-hmm. the data center people, the right. content aggregators, the, you know, you got people that are selling wholesale bandwidth.
Yes.
It's like the wild, wild west.
It's the entire ecosystem of the information and communications technology industry.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, we have everybody from satellite, subsea, data centers, you name it. You've got Google, you've got Facebook, you've got Verizon. There's so many to name. I can't even name them all.
Well, you know, and in full disclosure, I am involved with broadband for the state of Hawaii, and I have been going to PTC for a number of years, but then I also started to go to one called ITW, which is in Atlanta. And many of those folks go to PTC as well. And
right.
PTC, Atlanta, of course, is in the middle of the U.S. continent.
Yes.
But PTC brings all the players in the Pacific Rim.
Right.
You know, and so it's exciting.
It is exciting. So every January, it is our annual conference. So this year is our 42nd
mm-hmm.
marking. And it is PTC 20 Vision 2020 and Beyond. And basically, what that is going to look at, it's going to investigate multiple dimensions of the telecommunications sector and explore those trends and discontinuities in the years beyond. So everybody that's coming from the Pacific Rim is here to really talk about what's happening, what's big, and they're going to have great discussions about what's going to come.
I would imagine
5-10 years down the line.
I'm just guessing, but there's probably going to be some demonstrations, hopefully with 5G. I know there's going to be a lot of content stuff. I remember one year, I forget which screen, you know, TV screen manufacturer it was, but they were demonstrating like 4K, but now, mm-hmm. you know, 8K is out there now.
Right.
So I think that, you know, in terms of some of the new technologies, it'll be pretty interesting.
It will be. It will be. So, you know, we still encourage people to sign up and register for the conference. It's going to be from the 19th to the 22nd of January here at Hilton Hawaiian Village, Waikiki Beach Resort. They can go online to ptc.org/PTC20 mm-hmm. to register for the conference and, of course, find all kinds of information about what's going on. We have session workshops and we have all kinds of learning things happening every single day. Our center stage sessions feature some big names in the industry who are coming to talk about the hottest topics and industry trends.
You have any names you want to drop?
You know, one of our biggest sponsors this year is NTT Global Data
mm-hmm,
Centers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really intrigued and we're very excited to have them as our diamond sponsor. And they will be opening center stage for us this year. In addition to that, you know, we have what's called our PTC Hub. And so this is basically, if you could imagine, you know, going to any conference, it's your exhibit floor. It's reimagined this year and it's open to the public. So I'd like to encourage anybody here on the islands, even if you want to take a day trip over to Honolulu, come and do it. The PTC Hub is going to feature so much. We've got 15-minute lightning talks by some of the hottest industry experts. We have exhibitors. So it's pretty much a global representation of the latest trends in technology. That's where we have all of our meetings and network breaks. There's lots of stuff happening in the hub, and we really want people to come and embrace it and really meet some of the vendors and exhibitors that are there.
So this is the conference itself is a paid conference, so you have to pay to actually attend it. But this exhibit area is free for anybody who wants to just come and check it out?
Yes. So we encourage, you know, any high school students, we encourage any college students, professors, anybody in the business industry, you know, if they're just interested to find out what the conference is about, come in and check out the PTC Hub, check out these lightning talks that everybody, you know, is going to be having from Sunday through Wednesday. Come out. It's open every day, Sunday through Tuesday. It's from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then Wednesday, it's from 8 a.m. to noon. And so just come. Make sure you have some form of identification on you, because we do want to make sure that you are you when you do enter our hub. But yeah.
I must add that I am moderating a panel.
You are. I think you should talk about that. Well, right? You should share the individuals and the local representation that you have on your panel.
Well, so, you know, besides the fact that you are featuring a lot of the big fat pipes and the big data centers and all the, you know, the vendors that go into content aggregation, the panel that I'm hosting is really all about community networks, and that is on sort of the, I consider, part of the spectrum from big pipes to rural broadband, and community networks is more about rural broadband.
Right.
And the panel that we put together was really some of the folks that were involved in the Internet Society and the project that we just recently did with the Indigenous for Indigenous Connectivity to hook up a community in Waimanalo called Pu'uhonua o Waimanalo. And so we have on the panel Bumpy Kanahele and Brandon Maka'ava'ava, and we have a couple representatives from the Internet Society, as well as we have folks from another friend of mine, actually, who actually connected us up, this guy named Colin Kippen. So, and you know, and then we also have a representative from the Pu'uhonua o Waianae, and we want to look at how can these community networks be replicated across the islands, and especially for indigenous communities, but as well as rural communities that could take advantage of it. So we're kind of on the other end of that spectrum, but we're excited to be there anyway.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. And then, so your panel is on Tuesday. So if people want to come and check out your panel on Tuesday, they can come and register, you know, for a one-day pass as well, and they can come and see what your session's all about.
Yep. We will welcome anybody who wants to come in and hear and learn about community networks.
Yes.
So let's see. The last thing is, again, where can people go to register for PTC?
Sure. They can go to our website, www.ptc.org/PTC20, and you can register there. You can find out information of our schedule, our conference program. You can find out about our PTC Hub, the exhibitors that are going to be participating. It's your one-stop shop for information. We also have a mobile app. So if you're in the Apple Store or Google Play, go in and search for PTC20, and you can download our mobile app and see everything on the go as well.
Very good. Thanks, Nikki, for joining us.
Thanks, Bert, for having us.
And we'll take a short break, and when we return, we'll be joined by Michelle Chung and Len Higashi. We'll talk about the True Initiative. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Bush Consulting.
I can't imagine life without Morning Edition. One of the things that, as a news junkie, I like about listening to public radio is the news from different places, how we can listen to news from the BBC or from Deutsche Welle. And it's always interesting to hear from beyond the U.S. perspective, to hear how we're perceived in the world and to hear other people's voices.
Member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. Radio with vision. Listen and see.
Welcome back to Bite Marks Cafe. It is my pleasure to welcome Michelle Chung. And she's actually pretty new to the whole Entrepreneur Sandbox and the True Initiative. She is the executive director of, I think executive director of the,
director.
Oh, director of the Technology Readiness User Evaluation Initiative, or True Initiative. And I have as a special guest, Len Higashi, who is the acting executive director of the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation. And I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
How you doing, Bert?
Thanks for having us.
Well, you know, I'm really happy to have both of you, and Len, especially since you know, Len, I always ask you to come on the show, and you always got somebody you can recommend to come in your stead. But now
people don't want to hear from me. People want to hear directly from Michelle.
Oh,
she's
okay,
got all
okay.
the good stuff to say.
Well, okay, so I'll give Michelle some time here. Now, Michelle, tell us how long you've been involved with this CHU initiative.
I've only been involved for about 2 months.
2 months,
yeah.
Okay. So I've got you on the hot seat to tell us all about it. But before you even get to what the CHU initiative is about, I mean, give us a little bit of your background and how did you, you know, sort of end up in this tech sector?
Sure. So I grew up in technology, mostly in financial services. But what I've done in every position I've been in is really leverage technology and data to improve and grow businesses. And so it seems to be one of the needs in Hawaii as well. And I think that you'll hear this a lot. A lot of the challenges isn't really technology. It's really helping people adapt it and helping people, you know, adjust to the change and things like that. So it's a little more than the technology.
So was there something that attracted you to the CHU initiative? I mean, what came first? I know the CHU initiative kind of was initiated by Paul Yonamine from Central Pacific Bank. So that was kind of an idea that he had. Now, how did it evolve to the point where it was actually an organization, it has some funding, it's
yeah.
hiring you as the point person? I mean, how did that take place? And how mm-hmm. did you be at the crosshairs of that focus?
Yep. So it actually started with HCF, Hawaii Community Foundation, mm-hmm, and they mm-hmm. came up with, or they developed the change framework with the focus toward improving Hawaii as a whole. They worked with the Hawaii Executive Conference to get more private partnerships involved in the change framework. And so through the Hawaii Executive Collaborative, they got different CEOs and leaders of the community to take on different roles. And so CHU came out of that. So Paul took on the C component, community and economy, and he decided to focus on how we create a sustainable workforce and really to increase the use of technology within Hawaii, with the thought that if we increase the use of technology in Hawaii, you can actually have productivity and efficiency increases.
Yeah, you know, the reason why we wanted to have the CHU be discussed today was because in the two previous shows, we had both Rich Wacker and Mike Akane talk about in 2019, you know, what are some of the foundational things that they did in terms of the executive conference and what did, you know, what is some of the goals in 2020? And then I think a lot of it was kind of revolved around the change framework as well as Rich Wacker's innovation task force. And it's great to hear that the CHU sort of came out of that as well. Now, Len, I mean, you know, the CHU is kind of taking place at the Sandbox, and the Sandbox is really becoming a focal point for a lot of interesting things. I mean, what are some of the actual companies that are over at the Sandbox now?
Yeah, I mean, before we get into that, I just wanted to touch on something that you had brought up, you know, with Hawaii Community Foundation and Rich Wacker and all the great activity that they're doing. You know, it's focused really on innovation, but the idea behind the CHU initiative and how this resonates is that everything is going to take people working together. And to move innovation forward, it's going to be a collaborative effort. There's lots of like-minded people, you know, in very important positions willing to contribute and willing to help. So you asked the story on how we got Michelle. We basically recruited Michelle, and we were very fortunate to have somebody available who is an expert on change management and implementing. So I think that's a little bit of the backstory that I can provide.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In terms of companies, we have some of, you know, lots of companies in Hawaii. You know, I can start, you know, with the companies that are residents in the Sandbox, which is Central Pacific Bank. We have Surfco, Hawaiian Tel, Hawaiian Airlines is just signed, and PAXA.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
those are the companies, but that's just the tip of the spear. You know, I mean, there's lots of both private sector companies and government agencies that are involved together with the CHU initiative. And we're all working together saying that we need to start using each other and taking advantage of each other so that we can move this technology sector forward. And that's what the True is all about, and that's kind of the core of it.
Yeah, you know, I think you and I have both been involved with this, you know, the tech sector for years that we probably don't even want to count. But we've seen efforts that have gone on, even in previous directors, you know, at HTDC. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it does require the coming together of a number of different players, whether it's the University of Hawaii, whether it's the nonprofits, whether it's the private sector and government, right? So it's sort of good to hear that there is a concerted effort to bring a lot of that together. Now, maybe you can jump in Paul's head and think a little bit about what is it that he tried to do or tries to do with getting some of these other companies to be a part of the True, and what role do you think they would be playing?
They're playing a very significant role in helping to share some of the technology challenges that they face and then also working on solutions. And so some of the companies like Servco is working on a vehicle registration with the DMV. Mm-hmm. And when they do complete it, they're going to share it with other dealerships. And so it is really in the spirit of collaboration and sharing that we elevate all of Hawaii in technology use and technology adoption.
So are these companies, these private sector companies, I mean, are they not doing this on their own? And is there a need to sort of bring them together to help them realize that we're all in the same boat together? I mean, what's the shift in perspective?
Yep. I think that they are doing it on their own, but I think that with the sharing collaboration, other companies can also benefit. And so Paul put it in a way that was really impactful to me. Sometimes you learn, sometimes you teach, but collectively we're better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, would Servco have pursued this anyway? Yes. Can more companies learn from what they've done? Yes. And can we all benefit? Yeah. And so another example is Central Pacific Bank with artificial intelligence for call center. They're doing the same thing. They would have pursued it regardless of True, but I think with True sharing it, is it possible for other companies to adapt it sooner in a quicker way? Some of the challenges with adopting technology is also things like evaluation. I don't know how to get started. Myriad of things. It's helpful to have a company that has taken the plunge and that's willing, not only willing, but happy to share that those learnings and challenges so that the next person that adapts, it's a little easier, yeah.
I do want to ask you and talk a little bit about some of the technologies that these companies might start to use as ways of improving, let's say, a call center, because you don't start with AI and just, you know, get a bunch of programmers and start to do it from scratch. So there is some platforms that they might be kind of focusing in on to maybe leverage some of the expertise. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with both Michelle Chung and Len Higashi about the True Initiative. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Pacific Database, Chaminade University, and Hastings and Pleadwell, a communication company.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Michelle Chung and Len Higashi about creating an environment for companies to innovate and maybe even use some of the new technologies. And of course, right before the break, we're kind of getting into some of the actual use cases, applications that some of the companies might want to use. I mean, you mentioned, Michelle, Central Pacific Bank may be looking at leveraging AI for call center types of work. What would be the kind of platform that they might use if they were to get into an AI type of environment?
Yep, there are a couple out there. They're looking at AWS.
Mm-hmm.
And so Central Pacific Bank has shared AWS workshops with the community, with the True Initiative, and other companies that are interested. Another platform that we've been sharing is Salesforce, and it's not just a CMS system. It actually is quite powerful and doing much more than that. And then behind both of these systems, there's a ton of data, and you can leverage the data to not only learn more about your clients and, you know, employee activities, but you can learn, you can use it to create intelligence that will help you make better business decisions.
Now, Lynn, you know, when you hear about companies looking to embrace technologies, whether it's from AWS or Salesforce, how do you see that helping the sort of the ecosystem as a whole?
Yeah, we're raising the priority for innovation. You know, I think we're raising the baseline, putting common language, different technologies in front of people so that we can talk the same language. I think a lot of the effort is also very Hawaii-focused. If you think about it, people working together and using each other, it's very Hawaii. You know, I mean, very aloha spirit. And really, I think it's a huge opportunity, interesting time for Hawaii. The world is changing. Globalization, online competition, giant retailers. These are all forces that are happening today. And what better can we do than to learn from each other, help each other, embrace technology, and you know, get better for it? I think that's what the True Initiative is centered at, and that's why I'm personally so excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michelle, you know, the in terms of some of the companies that are involved with True, and this is generally speaking about the Hawaii companies. I mean, a lot of the companies that I look at are either national, or they're bought or owned by national companies or multinational companies. And to identify companies that have a real strong interest in the local ecosystem, I think is a jewel. I mean, you have to see if you can find those and mm-hmm. nurture those. And one of the connections that I do recognize is the fact that Salesforce, as an example, we just got done, you know, last year doing the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. And through the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge, there's a strong interest on the part of the state to do Salesforce as a platform. And if there's more programmers that are doing Salesforce, then the opportunity exists for them to not only perhaps work at the state, but work for some of the other companies, private sector companies, that use the same platform. So there is some economies of scale.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the goals is to create a more technology-enabled workforce, right? I believe that technology-enabled jobs pay over 50% more than a non-technology-enabled job. And so, yeah, I think part of it is to help the workforce in general. And it doesn't mean – so it's actually at the state level too. So some of the examples I use was private sector, but the state is also – on the forefront of some great technologies that we'd like to share.
Mm-hmm.
If I can jump in on that.
Yeah.
You know, I said earlier common language. And when I say common language, I don't mean English. You know, when we say common language, if we're using certain development tools or if we're using certain software applications in my business, in your business, in our business, in the government, the workforce can adapt to that. And they have places to go and places to train and places to improve and better their careers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there is, you said the right word, economies of scale. When we start using common language, common tools, then we can really strengthen our workforce and move them along in their career pipeline and really get to the good opportunities, well-paying jobs that we're after.
Now, you speak of well-paying jobs.
Yeah.
Do you think that the paying jobs now in with those companies are already well paying, or does something have to happen with the technology, perhaps increasing margins or making efficiencies, you know, better, so that the pay could be more? Is that something that either one of you could perhaps?
It's both, but I'll let Michelle tell her personal story. I mean, moving here from the mainland, and you can talk mm-hmm. about, you know, local pay scale and what experienced technologist in Hawaii is versus in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that we have high paying jobs here, but I don't think there's enough of them personally. So when I moved from New York, I took a significant pay cut, almost 50% for, you know, similar position. And in New York, if you want to explore your opportunities, you put your hand up and you can go explore. And here, because the job market is so tight, those opportunities aren't as readily available.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So through the truth, you think that the opportunities may be better communicated because people are working on projects?
I think that's one. And then I think that as we become more technology-enabled, we as a state, all the different companies, all the different organizations become more technology savvy and enabled. Hopefully productivity increases. With such a tight job market, it's not like we're replacing, we're going to take away jobs. I think that there's going to be opportunities to learn new skills or, switch to different positions.
Are there any projects that are in the near-term horizon that you can see coming up in 2020 that, we might be able to watch and see the progress of?
Absolutely. The AI is one that we've talked about, AI for call center. There's also AI for HR that uses AWS and Azure technology. Salesforce, I think more adoption of that will show, improved productivity and efficiencies.
What would be something that somebody from the outside would perhaps observe or see as progress?
I'd like to hear more conversation about having that innovation mindset. So it's not just doing things the way we used to do them, but leveraging the technology and innovations to be better and be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we hear more of that and more people adopt that, then we're moving in the right direction. If True is credited with helping an organization improve productivity, whether it's, through a different mindset, through a different tool set, whatever that is, then I feel like I would have done my job.
So, Lynn, do you think that in terms of AWS, what would you say as being, success in terms of leveraging AWS through the True initiative?
I won't narrow it down to a specific technology. My idea of success is when you look at the and think this through. When you look at the Hawaii business, you don't think of it as a Hawaii business. You look at it as a first-rate business. The businesses are getting to the benefit. The technology is just the tool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're trying to get stronger companies here. Stronger companies here mean better-paying jobs here. That means more opportunities here. That's what we're really after.
Mm-hmm.
The technology and the collaboration, these are all the means to the end. But the end, we're trying to build better companies here in Hawaii. And I think that's kind of really the success, the key to the success for our future.
So, Michelle, where can we find out more about the True Initiative?
I'll keep an eye out for a website that's going to come up.
Okay. Very good. Send it to me and I'll post it up on our show.
That would be great.
Michelle Chung is the executive director of the True Initiative. And, of course, Lynn Higashi is the acting executive director of the Hawaii Technology Development Corporation. I want to thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we will find out about this year's East Meets West Conference. If you missed any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to email me at bitemarks@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at bitemarks. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Wednesday or anytime via the HPR app, iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You stay awesome. And of course, Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.